Well, Australians have had a long love affair with the theatre, and the biggest producer of theatre which Australia has ever had was J.C. Williamson, a company which started in the 1880s and put its final show on in 1976. And we're talking about big shows in really big theatres which lived or died on their popular appeal. Well, now a window on those glory days of commercial theatre has been digitised and put online for us all to enjoy by the Theatre Heritage Australia outfit. And it's a series of what are called scene books, which present us with vivid photographs of the incredibly intricate sets and scenery for Williamson shows, including some stunning painted backcloths. Paul Kathner has spent most of his working life with these very scene books very close at hand. He's a retired scene builder and painter, and he joins us now. Paul, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So nice to have us here. Tell us about J.C. Williamson. Who was he? It was an enormous concern he had.
Well, it was the biggest private entrepreneurial firm in the world at one stage, where a production could be put on, and everything in that production, costumes, scenery, props, could be done under one roof.
Yeah, a massive undertaking. So he himself, James Cassius Williamson, what a fantastic name, was an American actor who showed up in Sydney in 1879 and doing Gilbert and Sullivan initially, and the whole thing just became a great sort of empire. So these scene books reveal just how specular many of these shows were. Tell me about the show in which they replicated a train journey.
Oh, they did not only train journeys, they did floods, explosions, anything that was dramatically sort of spectacular that they did. I always think that in the days before cinema, people who went to the popular theatre wanted to see spectacular things. And, of course, the theatre had to cook up ways of doing it, and they did it, and did it very well. I first became familiar with these books when I joined J.C. Williamson's as assistant to Bill Constable up in Sydney. And they were lying around up in the paint room where we worked. We were painting sets for Borrow at the time, for Borrowansky Ballet. And we'd thumb through them. And I was amazed how photorealist they were.
Yeah, so these backcloths, which are enormous, they have to cover the whole back of the theatre, are produced in these books in black and white photographs. Sadly, they're not in colour. And they do look as though they're photographs, actually, some of them.
Exactly. I, you know, as a young person sort of starting off as a scenic artist, I thought I'll never be able to do that. And I think perhaps in Australia, even now, to do that style of painting, there were very few who could do it. I could name perhaps three who could nearly do it, and I could name one who could do it. Am I allowed to name that?
You can name person? Whoever you like, well, yes, as long as you don't slander anybody.
He's unfortunately just retired as a scenic artist, but Ross Turner. And Ross, to me, was one of the great scenic artists of his time, and he could do it.
You and Ross Turner both worked for Williamson's, didn't you?
Yes, but I had a big stint out of Williamson's. I joined in 1952, I think, when I was 16. Worked for a couple of years up in Sydney. Then I was sort of offered a job as a designer and painter at St Martin's Theatre, which used to be here in Melbourne, South Yarra, a rep theatre. And I came down on a two-year contract and stayed 11. And then when St Martin's was taken over by the MTC, I went back to Williamson's.
Right. And so then when Williamson's closed, you and Ross went out on your own, is that right? And
formed Scenic Studios.
Because when Williamson's closed in 76, theatre has really changed its form. So theatre is looking for more minimalist sets or more abstract kind of sets. But the ballet and the opera, they were still wanting these old-fashioned hyper-realist sets. So that was your opening to continue in your trade.
That's right. I mean, the when you look at these photographs of these backdrops, you will seldom ever see anything apart from perhaps at in the ballet and sometimes in the opera, anything approaching that sort of approach. I mean, scene designing changed enormously, and the visual aspect in the theatre changed enormously at the turn of the century, really. And one of the big influences, of course, was Diaghilev and the Russian ballet. And Australia, always following on a little later than Europe, when the Ballet Russe hit Australia in the 1930s, the influence was enormous, and the generation that trained me were all young when the Ballet Russe was here in the 1930s.
So visually, what did the Ballet Russe introduce that was different? What do you mean?
Oh, well, they first of all got I once said serious painters, and somebody rebuked me and said all painting is serious.
Yeah.
But Diaghilev and Colonel de Basile brought in serious painters to do decors for their ballet. So you had people like Matisse and Christian Berard and mainly the School of Paris painters. I don't know, it just became different. People wanted to see different imagery in the theatre. They could see realism in the cinema now because the cinema was well and truly up and going.
Yeah, so that more abstract kind of spectacle was being created by the Ballet Russe,
who were more
modernist in their outlook. But the ones that we've got here in the scene books, now listen, the way to do this is to just do a web search for J.C. Williamson scene books. And if you look at them, if you're like me and you love the theatre, this could be an obsession. I've worked through all of these one by one and gazed at every picture. And they're full of these extraordinarily intricate sets that show you just how snazzy the set changes could be within one show. So there's a hovel on scene in one, you know, one act, and then suddenly there's a palace, and then you're in a luxurious garden. All of them created either by having these backdrops that were lowered from the flies, or by having different furniture and whatnot on stage. I know there's a couple here that really take your fancy. Very briefly, because we're almost out of time, the Mikado. Let's talk about the set for the Mikado.
I've been digging around about dates on these particular backdrops. It was painted in 1885 by a man called George Gordon, who was then chief scenic artist with Williamson's. And it's only part of the whole set, of course. It's only one small backdrop that was probably seen out of the first act set, which was a sort of interior garden sort of business.
So it's a sort of Japanese house or temple,
Japanese,
maybe.
A Japanese pagoda-type place. But, I mean, the detail's extraordinary. And the artist, George Gordon, was really one of the great scenic artists of his age.
Yeah.
He was poached. Williamson's JCW was in England getting sort of royalties for shows, and he also did a deal with Doyle Cart and got the copyright for Gilbert and Sullivan in Australia. At a very cheap rate too. And it stayed that way until the copyright went in 1970-something, yeah. I think. And he saw Gordon's sets at the Savoy for a couple of the G&S operas, and he said, come to Australia, I'll make you a rich man, which he did. And so Gordon and his son ended up in Australia, and the rest of their career was spent here. And Williamson, being a theatre man himself, had a great eye for quality, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I guess the sad thing is that these beautiful backcloths have disappeared, because we should explain that these scene books, which you can see online, are really an inventory of what J.C. Williamson's held, so that they could locate where the scene cloths were in these enormous warehouses they had in Sydney and Melbourne. And I guess they rented these out, did they, to other companies? If
sometimes,
you wanted a view across the
did.
Thames. There's a lovely one here from the Silver King. I wonder what year that was, 1922, I think. of a view across the Thames. And what it shows you is how effectively these backcloths could be used to create a sense of perspective and depth. So this is London at night.
That's right. Well, Silver King had 14 scenes in it.
Extraordinary.
I mean, they were sort of the soap operas of their day, I suppose, or something. But, I mean, Silver King was a melodrama, and melodrama was big in Victorian times, right through until the 20s, really, in Australia. And people wanted to see what the place was. If it was set in the Thames, that's what you got. I found out when that was painted. Silver King actually opened at the Theatre Royal Sydney in 1883. And that backdrop is probably the 1883 backdrop.
Oh, well, maybe this date here, 1922, is just a note that somebody's made in the book saying that it was...
It probably got transferred to the store where they photographed it in the 20s.
Oh, I see.
I mean, Williamson's never threw anything out. Everything was kept, props, scenery, the lot. The latest date I could find, I mean, some of the stuff in the book goes up to the 30s and into the even 1940s. There's one I found for A Royal Divorce, which is a story about Napoleon and his flight from Moscow. And that was produced in 1914. So it was painted in 1914 by probably George Gordon's son, who took over from him.
Jay Gordon, it says.
Jay Gordon.
Yeah. So this is, the one we're looking at is a painting of a group of Russian soldiers, I guess they are, outside something that looks like, well, Russia, the Kremlin or something.
It's based on a painting, actually, a painting of Napoleon's retreat from Moscow.
Oh, so they'd be the French soldiers. Oh, I see, that's Napoleon in the middle there, so it is. Well, this is such a kind of window on a lost world, Paul, and an astonishingly skillful group of artists who we kind of took for granted because they were creating the illusion of reality. It also made me think, actually, that it helps you understand Brecht better, because Brecht was criticising the theatre that transported you into reality and made you forget that it was a play. He didn't want that to happen. And you can see how effectively these kind of plays took you into a world which you could just lose yourself in.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. I mean, that one of the retreat from Moscow, they didn't mind painting people on their scenery as well.
No, the people would be stuck still the whole time, but it's very effective. We've got to stop. Hey, Paul, thanks for coming in. It's been a pleasure.
Absolute.
Paul Kathner, who is a scenic artist, who with his business partner Ross Turner has been the guardian of the J.C. Williamson scene books for the past 50 years, and they've now been digitised by Theatre Heritage Australia. And you can see them yourself, and it's well worth having a look. We'll put a link to that website on our page. Just look for The Hub on Stage. I'm Michael Cathcart.